Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, April 1st, day 20 of 9/11 on trial. You're watching Wing TV, and I'm Lisa Giuliani. Happy April Fool's Day.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. And what we're going to do here is this is our Friday weekend edition. Then on Monday, we're going to have witness number 17, who's going to testify about, you got it, controlled demolition. Then on Tuesday, witness 18 will testify about World Trade Center building number 7. Finally, on Wednesday, I'll give the closing argument. Then on Thursday and Friday, what we're going to do is give you a little behind-the-scenes look at what's been taking place with this trial over the last month or so. Also, we welcome any phone calls that you have, any comments to be made about this trial and so forth. So we're coming down to the wire, and we just want to thank everybody out there who's been following along with this.
What follows next is witness number 16, who will testify about molten steel. Let's join Judge Alan Kirkpatrick for the proceedings.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your Honor, due to a sudden cancellation, witness 16 today, replayed by Lisa Giuliani, she's going to speak about molten steel that was found beneath the World Trade Center towers. As we already know your name, my first question to you today is, after the World Trade Center towers collapsed, what did rescue workers initially find at Ground Zero?
Well, the American Free Press reported that pools of molten steel were found at the base of the collapsed Twin Towers weeks after the collapse.
And who specifically did this information originate from?
Mark Lazo, president of Controlled Demolition, Inc., who arrived on the World Trade Center site 2 days later and wrote the cleanup plan for the entire operation.
And he confirmed that there were pools of molten steel?
The AFP asked Lazo about the report of molten steel on the site, and he said, yes, hot spots of molten steel were found in the basement.
Where precisely were these pools found?
At the bottoms of the elevator shafts of the main towers, down 7 basement levels, Lazo said. The molten metal could be found at the bottom of the debris, as opposed to being melted over or among the debris.
And how long was it there?
3, 4, and 5 weeks later, when the rubble was being removed, Lazo said.
Was this molten steel found anywhere else?
Mr. Lazo also said molten steel was also found at World Trade Center Building Number 7.
Okay, before moving on to another topic, tell us about the foundations of these towers.
The foundations were 70 feet deep at that level, 47 huge box columns, connected to the bedrock, supported the entire gravity load of the structures.
And how thick was the steel used in these box columns?
The steel walls of these lower box columns were 4 inches thick.
Has anyone else confirmed the existence of this molten steel?
Yes. Peter Tully, president of Tully Construction of Flushing, New York, told the American Free Press newspaper of literally molten steel at the World Trade Center.
And how far below street level did this molten steel exist?
70 feet below the surface.
Okay, since it was 7 stories below street level, were these pools of molten steel covered by rubble from the collapsed towers?
Yes.
And how would you describe the environment surrounding this molten steel?
It was an oxygen-starved environment.
Okay. Is an oxygen-starved environment conducive to the perpetuation of burning substances?
No, obviously it is not.
And why is that?
According to the National Interagency Fire Center, fuel, heat, and oxygen are all needed components in the right combination to produce fire.
If any of these components are eliminated, what happens?
You take away any of the 3 components of fire, fuel, heat, and oxygen, or oxygen, and the fire collapses, meaning it can't burn.
Yet, this molten steel, in an oxygen-starved environment, continued to boil for up to 5 weeks?
That's correct.
An earlier witness testified that a temperature of 5,182 degrees Fahrenheit is required to transform steel into a liquefied molten state. Is this correct?
Yes, it is.
Another witness testified earlier that the highest temperature that could have possibly been attained inside the World Trade Center towers after the initial fireball was 680 degrees Fahrenheit. Is this also correct?
Yes, it is.
Finally, a third witness testified that 16 and a half minutes after the North Tower was struck, it was already a dwindling oxygen-starved fire which was not spreading to other areas of the tower, while the South Tower was an even smaller, very containable office fire. In your opinion, are these assessments correct?
Yes, they are.
And what is the variance in temperatures between a proposed fire temperature inside the towers and that required to turn steel into molten steel?
Well, 5,182 degrees minus 680 degrees equals a variance of 4,502 degrees.
4,502 degrees variance, okay? Yet how long after 9/11 was this molten substance found burning beneath the fallen towers?
Hot spots of literally molten steel were discovered more than a month after the collapse. Intense heat persisted in the bottoms of the rubble piles for months. The fires continued to burn for 100 days, despite being sprayed with water.
A previous witness testified that jet fuel from the crashing airliners burned off within 1 to 2 minutes. Is this accurate?
Yes, it is.
Could fire from the burning jet fuel that was extinguished in 1 to 2 minutes only have created temperatures of 5,182 degrees Fahrenheit?
They could not possibly have been produced by residual hydrocarbon fires.
And what would you need to produce molten steel?
Normally, you need a blast furnace to achieve that kind of heat.
All right, Ms. Giuliani, to your knowledge, were there any blast furnaces 7 stories beneath the streets of Manhattan?
No, there were not.
Has anyone from the government been able to explain this seemingly inexplicable phenomenon?
The energy source for these incredibly hot areas has yet to be explained by the government.
A previous witness spoke about strange seismic data that occurred precisely when the towers began collapsing. In your opinion, could this testimony be related to the pools of molten steel?
2 unexplained spikes in the seismic record from September 11th indicate huge bursts of energy shook the ground beneath the World Trade Center towers immediately prior to the collapse.
Which means what?
These spikes suggest that massive underground explosions may have literally knocked the towers right off their foundations, causing them to collapse.
A previous witness, we seem to be quoting a lot of them, but a previous witness testified that only a very small percentage of the World Trade Center steel wreckage was actually inspected. Is this correct?
Yes, only a tiny fraction of all the steel beams at the World Trade Center were inspected.
Of those pieces that were inspected, what was discovered?
A few of them were very peculiar. A New York Times article in February 2002 declared pieces of steel have also been found that were apparently melted and vaporized, not solely because of the heat of the fires, but also because of a corrosive contaminant that was somehow released in the conflagrations.
In your opinion, would it take a temperature higher than 5,182 degrees Fahrenheit, the molten steel threshold, to vaporize steel?
Yes, definitely so.
Did the New York Times article that you previously mentioned arrive at any conclusions about this bizarre occurrence?
Yes. They wrote that the steel apparently melted away, but no fire in any of the buildings was believed to be hot enough to melt steel outright.
Is there any other way we could confirm the existence of these hot spots?
Yes. On September 16th, 5 days after the attacks, NASA flew a plane over the site to take measurements.
And before NASA took these measurements, what steps were taken at Ground Zero?
In this period of time, hundreds of truckloads of debris had already been carried out, and firemen had sprayed millions of gallons of water on the smoking rubble.
And what did NASA use to take these measurements?
NASA used an airborne visible infrared image spectrometer to locate and measure the site's hotspots.
And that's also known as an avirus, I would imagine. So what did NASA find?
The results show that there were several hot spots with temperatures over 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface, with one spot at the South Tower that recorded 1,377 degrees.
How did this 1,377 degree surface temperature compare to the molten steel?
It was less than half as the molten steel in the basement.
Okay. And how are these dramatically high temperatures explained?
The one unexplained World Trade Center issue is the continuing fire from below the collapsed debris.
Could these fires have burned so deep below the streets of Manhattan, could they have been caused by burning jet fuel?
No, this was not jet fuel.
How do we know that?
By virtue of the smoke color. Any residual liquid fuel would have been burnt or dispersed, essentially evaporated, on the way down. Jet fuel burning in open air will reach roughly 1,100 degrees, insufficient to actually melt steel. Certainly it can weaken steel, but not melt it down. The World Trade Center jet fuel did not burn in open air. Thus, a lower temperature may reasonably be assumed.
Okay, could these extreme temperatures, could they have been caused by the weight of falling debris?
Since neither tons of jet fuel nor compression demolition have the potential to create this type of heat, much less maintaining this heat for days afterwards, an impartial detective would have to conclude that there was another source for these extreme temperatures.
Are there any other reasons why the falling debris could not have created these drastic temperatures?
An argument for mechanical energy transmission doesn't hold up.
Why is that?
It's not the same as hitting a nail with a sledgehammer. A shattering sledgehammer would not carry the force to strike, deform, and heat a nail.
So when you hit a nail with a sledgehammer, which is comparable to the tower's collapse, the hammer doesn't melt or vaporize the nail or turn it to molten steel?
Correct. The force of the collapse couldn't or didn't melt the bases of the core columns.
Okay, Ms. Giuliani, my final question is, so the hammer in this analogy could bend a nail or drive it into something, but nothing beyond that?
Now, bending steel with horrendous energy is one thing. Melting it is another.
Thank you very much. No further questions, Your Honor.